Let's turn together in our Bibles as we return to our series through the book of Galatians. Remember, Paul wrote this letter to the church, churches that lived in the area. It's sort of a letter that would be passed on from church to church. And in this particular letter, Paul has been focusing on the seriousness of the gospel, that there are false teachers, so-called super apostles, that were bringing another gospel, not that there is another gospel, for there is only one gospel. And today, Paul is going to be defending his calling into the ministry, retelling, giving us another account of his calling by God. So we're going to be reading from Galatians 1. We'll start at verse 11 and read down to verse 17, but our particular focus is found on verse 15 and 16. So 15 and 16 will be our text for this morning. Galatians chapter 1, that's found on page 1154. Galatians 1 at verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. And here's our focus. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Again, our focus is particularly found in verse 15. But when he who set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. As far as reading, this morning we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you have a calling? Another way I could ask a similar question is, have you been called by God? And if you have been called by God, when have you been called by God? In the past, it was very common for Christians to speak of a sacred calling. Sacred calling that men would receive, a calling into the ministry or a calling into the mission field. But if you are not a pastor or a missionary, do you still have a calling? And have you been called by God? Is there a connection between being called by God and receiving a calling to serve? Is there a connection between the salvation that we receive and our commission to service? Today, as we return to Galatians chapter 1, we find Paul retelling of his calling, or when he was called by God. And as we consider this calling that Paul received, we're going to find that there is a pattern evident in Paul's calling, which can be applied to us. So what happened to Paul in specific can be applied to us in general terms as well. We're going to be focusing in on a very specific part of the golden chain of salvation. Perhaps you've heard that before, that golden chain of salvation. We're going to be focusing in on our election and effectual calling. So we consider this morning this theme: the Father sovereignly calls his people to sacred service. The Father sovereignly calls his people to sacred service. And again, our focus text is found in verse 15 and 16. In the first point, then, we find that Paul was set apart for a sacred purpose. As verse 15 opens up, we find, he set me apart. The he here in verse 15 is the Father. The Father set Paul apart for sacred service. To be set apart is to be consecrated. To set apart something is to take it and to set it aside for a specific task. In the Old Testament, this consecration, this setting apart someone for sacred service, would be done with the anointing of oil. It was the prophets, priests, and kings that were consecrated, that were set apart by God, filled with the Holy Spirit, for a specific sacred work. But this particular setting apart that Paul here receives, this consecration by God, takes place before Paul was even born. I was set apart before I was born. This setting apart took place before Paul had done anything good or ill. The Father had chosen, had selected, had appointed Paul for a very distinct and specific work. And in this way, Paul shares similarities with Jeremiah, which we read a few minutes ago from Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Here the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations before you were in your mother's womb, Jeremiah." So Paul, like Jeremiah, is set apart by the Father before birth. Now, why is this so important that we focus on the timing of this consecration? The reason that the timing of this consecration is so important is because when Paul focuses on the before birth aspect, he is removing any possibility of his works being an influential factor in his consecration. In other words, God does not look at Paul and let him live his life up to a point and say, "Okay, Paul, you're doing pretty good, so I'm going to take you because you're doing a good job. I'm going to consecrate you based on what you have done." That's not at all what we find in our passage. Being consecrated by the Father before he had done anything good or ill. This is contrasting the timing of Paul's consecration, contrasting it to the previous verses, where we find in the previous verses, particularly verses 13 and 14, Paul is focusing on his works. He's focusing on his merit. "You look at what I've done," Paul says. "I was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was the absolute best of the Jews. I was elevated beyond what all of my companions and co-workers and fellow kinsmen, I was going beyond them in my zeal, seeking the praise of men." And interestingly, the word Pharisee means one who is set apart. I was the best of those who were set apart. But when God consecrated me, Paul says, he was not doing it based on my zealous works. The contrast that is being here elevated in this verse is the contrast between human effort, advancement, and the choosing of God based on nothing that Paul had done or would do. Here he's making it very clear. Election and consecration by the Father is not based on human effort, merit, or striving. God does not choose Paul because Paul has proven himself. He was set apart in the womb. Paul would say the same thing in Ephesians 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1 verse 4. "We're chosen before the foundation of the world, foreknown by the Father." Or considering the illustration of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was loved, Esau hated, before they had done anything good or ill. So Paul, being consecrated by the Father, set apart to be an apostle for the work that the Father would call him to do, is something that Paul received before he was born. He was called for sacred service. But before he was even called, he was set apart. Ephesians 1, verse 5 would put it this way. We are chosen according to the purpose of His will. So Paul was chosen, he was appointed, he was consecrated, he was set apart for sacred work because it pleased the Father. He was set apart for the purpose of the Father, by the purpose of the Father. So we could ask ourselves the question, why did God choose you? Of all the people on the face of this earth, why did God choose you? Is there something special in you? Is there something that you have done that has somehow earned or moved God to call you His own? Why did God set His love upon Paul, consecrating him for sacred service? Why does the Father give to Paul, and why does the Father give to you a sacred purpose? Well, He marks His own and sets them apart as distinct because it is according to His good pleasure, for the purpose of His good design. We have a purpose and a place in God's sovereign divine plan. And He consecrates a people for Himself because it pleases Him and according to His purpose. So before we move on to our second point, there's a very clear application in which the setting apart of Paul, the consecration of Paul, has something to say about us and our consecration as well. Asking yourself this question, why did God choose you? Why did God set you apart to be His own? Why does He call you to sacred service? Before you've done anything, why does He bring you into His fold and make you His own? It's not because of who you are and what you have done or what you will do, because the timing is before you're even born. This, brothers and sisters, is a humbling, God-exalting truth. Why did God choose you? Why did He see fit to use you in His kingdom? Only because it pleases Him, for His good pleasure and according to His good design. That's why we cannot boast. That's why there's no room for pride in the kingdom of God. But He consecrates His people because He sees fit. Paul then continues, not only was he consecrated by God, set apart before he was born. In our second point, we see that he was called by God's grace. Called by grace. To be called is to be summoned by name, to be brought near and called upon. This calling is not normally audible for us, but for Paul, it actually was an audible calling. He was called by the grace of God, called by the voice of Jesus Christ. So to link this second point to the previous point, this calling by God is of grace. It's because it pleases God and we're called according to His purpose. But what is this calling that Paul had received? He was called by the grace of God, and the calling that a person receives can refer to various events or messages or people that God uses in your life to call you to faith and repentance. We'd refer to this as the external calling. The external calling is when Paul had been met by God through the Son, spoken to by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and also in other visions, where Jesus Christ literally, audibly calls Paul to do something, to be something, to follow Him. And although we do not this day hear the audible voice of Jesus, we too this day continue to hear the call to faith and repentance. If you're sitting here in this church and you hear a sermon that calls you to repent and believe, you are receiving the external call. When Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," that is God calling you. But this external call must also be accompanied by an internal call. This internal call is something that we sometimes call the effectual calling. This internal call is where the Holy Spirit uses the external call to change hearts and lives. Where by the strength of the Spirit, we respond to the external call with faith and repentance. The sovereign plan of God is brought to bear and a change is wrought within. Now, what is the change? What is the change that the Spirit does within us? He softens our hearts, planting the seed of the Word, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Paul even references this in this following verse, verse 16. He was called by grace. Being called by God, what happens, verse 16? The Son was revealed. What the Spirit does when He's working within, this effectual calling, the work of the Spirit, is He's giving us eyes to see Jesus so that we embrace Him as He is. The Spirit reveals the Son to us. You see Jesus. You know Jesus. You love Jesus. And when the sinner sees the Son, the sinner is changed. It says, as the Greeks would state it, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So an important aspect of faith, the work of the Spirit within us, is that we see Jesus rightly. Jesus is revealed to us so that we know Him, we love Him, and we put our faith, our hope, our trust in His works. But this seeing Jesus also changes us. When you see Jesus, you begin to look more like Jesus. When you hear the voice of Jesus, you begin to echo Jesus. Being called leads to a life of holy service. The calling of God is both particular and effective. It is specific and it is powerful. As Romans 8 puts it, we are called according to His purpose. So not only was Paul set apart, not only was he called in time, he was also, in our third point, sent to preach. He was set apart for service. He was called unto service, and then he goes. The calling that Paul received now leads to a new life. Being called unto salvation cannot be separated from a summons to obedience and service. Now, I don't want to be confusing here because we use the word calling in various ways. In our second point, we use the call to refer to the work of the Spirit where He brings the message to us and changes us within. That is the calling of God, the effectual calling. In this last, our third point, we're going to see that those who are called by God receive a calling to service, a summons to obey, to go, and for Paul to preach. So verse 16, Paul, who is set apart and called by the Spirit, is now sent to go. That call. So here, verse 16, in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. Now, Jeremiah, we read this earlier from Jeremiah chapter 1. He was appointed as a prophet to the nations. And now here, Paul is sent as an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, children, the word Gentile just simply means the people group that are not the Jews. Paul's normal process, when we look at his process during his missionary journeys, the first thing that Paul would often do coming to a new city, he would go to the synagogue and he would reason with the Jews. He would speak to the Jews that are in that area, convincing them, reminding them, proving from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. But what would often happen is that after this initial success, if you can put it that way, where people would believe, there would be this rising up, the swelling up of hostility. As people would reject Paul. And what Paul would do, as he did in Acts 18, he would shake the dust from his feet, wipe the dust from his feet or shake the dust from his clothes. And he would, as Acts 18 says, "Now I go to the Gentiles." God had commissioned and sent Paul to be a preacher, a gospel proclaimer to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles as well might see and know Jesus. As we can see that when God gives us His Spirit within, when He changes us, when we see, when we know, when we love Jesus Christ, we are changed into instruments that are willing and fit for service. There's such a close connection between being set apart by the Father, called by the Spirit to see the Son, and then set apart and sent into service. Salvation and service are not two things that we can rip apart and have one without the other. Having been saved, Paul is now sent, and he obeys, and he goes. Now notice if you still have your Bibles open, look at the dramatic shift that takes place between verse 13 and verse 16. In verse 13, Paul has said, "In my previous life, I was persecuting the church. I tried to destroy it. I was traveling all over the world trying to find the followers of Jesus Christ, haul them off to prison, and put them to death. That's what I was doing," verse 13. But in the verse 16, we find Paul being willing to be persecuted and stoned, abused. Why? How did this change? Why was he willing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ? Why was he willing to preach the gospel no matter what? What had happened? What can account for this persecutor turned preacher? How can such a dramatic shift take place? Only by the grace of God. When it comes to changing hearts and lives, it is only God's grace that can take the chief sinner and turn him into the apostle to the Gentiles. And by God's grace, this change takes place in us as well. Only the Spirit can take a heart that is hard and rebellious and obstinate and turn it into a vessel fit for sacred service. Although we have not all been called to be preachers and ministers in the formal sense, we all have a shared calling from God. All being sent, having seen Jesus to reflect Jesus, having heard the voice of Jesus to echo His praise. We have all been appointed by the Father, set apart for sacred service. Having the call of the Spirit within changes us so that we are desirous, the will and the way, to go out and serve. Sent out into this world to faithfully tell, to defend, to declare that there is a Savior who delivers us from our sins. May we all, like the prophet Isaiah did, when hearing the call, respond by saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." To conclude, 2 Peter 1 verse 10 describes the process of change in the reverse order. 2 Peter 1 puts it this way, "Be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these things, you will never fall. So when we are convinced of the Father setting us apart, and when we receive the calling by the Spirit, we will be diligent to go out and obey. The good fruit of obedience is one of the proofs that we have been called by God. The change that happens to Paul in his life bears this out. If Paul can be set apart by the Father, if he can be called by the Spirit to see Jesus Christ, and if he can go out and preach the gospel, if God can do that with Paul, then he can use you too. But through it all, we can't miss the grounds of our salvation. Remain fully in the good pleasure of God. Paul was, and you are too, chosen because of his good pleasure and for his purpose. As our theme states, the Father sovereignly calls his people to sacred service. So may we who have received the calling of our God by his Spirit go out and obey in faithful service. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this intricate insight into your work, that you as our Heavenly Father have set us apart, that by your Spirit you have revealed your Son to us. And now in the strength of your Spirit we go to obey in faithful service. May we by your Spirit continue to see Jesus more clearly. May we rejoice in the fact that we are the recipients of your sovereign grace. May we obey in thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.